This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I mean, if we were 29-0, I would say that we needed to win the other ones by more. It's never enough.
It's time for college football game time. For the next 3 hours, we're taking a look at the world of college football from our dogs to around the nation. Join our hosts, Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, and John Chuckery as they break down the college football scene and give you an exclusive insight you can only find here. College football game time is brought to you by Dos Equis. Make social distancing more interesting with Dos Equis, the most interesting beer, and by ESOG, Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Let's test they will!
Yes, sir.
How bad do you want it?
College football game time is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
College football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth alongside John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. Glad to be with you. Happy Thanksgiving. And we're ready for some college football today. A lot of games on tap today. There's games that have been canceled. We got Nick Saban and Ryan Day both with COVID-19 issues. Ohio State's not playing at all. Saban won't be on the sideline today for Alabama. We got a whole lot of stuff to get into there. Georgia Tech playing for the first time since Halloween. So we'll talk a little bit about the Jackets today as well. You can find us always online at 929thegame.com, the radio.com app, on Twitter at 929thegame. You can find John Chuckery at JMCH316. Randy McMichael at RandyMac81. You can find me at Chris Goforth. One, guys, before we get into what's happening this week, let's start with the big news from last week, and that is the debut of JT Daniels at quarterback last week for Georgia and the win over Mississippi State. 400 yards passing, he throws for four touchdowns in what may be the understatement of the century. Kirby Smart said after the game, and I quote, "We were so much more explosive tonight."
Duh.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, how about the fact that Georgia had eight more rushing yards than the three of us put together?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was, you know, it was a really good first impression, you know, and he went out there and what Mississippi State did, they sold out to stop the run, and they left their corners on the island, and Georgia's receivers were able to make plays. He was able to get the ball down there. I thought for the most part, the pass pro was good for Georgia. They had a couple of blunders, and I thought earlier on, you know, JT, you could tell a little rusty. The speed was a little fast for him, so he had, you know, took a couple sacks that he shouldn't have. But I mean, overall, I thought it was a really good performance, and you know, just looking forward to seeing how they build off of that tonight up there in Columbia.
What is so crazy about that game? And I mean, it's legitimately crazy, is the fact that you had, and I want to make sure I get the number right, he had 737 passing yards to 30 rushing yards in that game combined.
The two Welcome teams. To college football in 2020.
Yeah, and I mean, Randy, 3 years ago, if I'd have told you Mississippi State and Georgia are going to line up against one another and they'll combine for only 30 passing yards, or 30 rushing yards, but 700-something passing yards, you'd have thought I was nuts. But, yeah, you know, the way that game played itself out, and look, JT Daniels is the SEC Offensive Player of the Week. First Georgia quarterback in history to throw four touchdowns in his first game. kind of hard to do a whole lot better than that, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. I mean, he was good, and he's poised, and it just goes back because we all knew that when because I think JT would have started the previous week against Missouri, but it just goes to show you that he just wasn't right. I just don't believe Kirby would have held this out for Stetson Bennett.
I mean, can we talk about that for a second? Is that the dumbest storyline going around?
It has to be.
I mean, this idea that why didn't JT down? Probably because he couldn't play. I mean, why would Kirby Smart sit there and watch Stetson Bennett just goof it up all over the field and say, let him just try to work it out? I mean, come on. I mean, against Florida or whatever, we said him being cleared to play and him being ready and physically able. Same thing with DeJuan Mathis. I'll go back, being cleared to play and all that's one thing. Being football ready to go out there and take hits and play and run the offense for a kid who just came on camp, it's a whole different thing than just, well, now medically he's allowed to go out there and take hits.
Yeah, and that's why when you hear, you hear from his father, you hear from Ron Corson, so that's why I'm like, hey, he just wasn't ready. Because there's no way that you're telling me if this young man was ready to play that he wouldn't have been out before Stetson.
Sure.
I just don't believe that. But I just thought it was a great performance. I thought defensively they just didn't play Georgia defense, meaning, the blueprint to slow down, that Mississippi State offense. You rush three, you drop eight. Well, they were dropping eight so far back. You're like, okay, it's 3rd and 6. Why are your DBs at 9 yards? And that's not what Georgia does. And so I thought that once they change it up, but I give credit to the Mississippi State, the young quarterback, he was nice. Maybe it was Costello that was the problem, not the quarterback
Will Rogers.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he played really, really, really well. And so you move on, you're going up to South Carolina where, and we'll get into that into this later on, but strange things happen up in Columbia. Now, I don't expect that to happen today. I think Georgia needs to go up there and kick South Carolina's butt. They need to go – it needs to be a statement game for them so they just, continue to see how this offense may look, in the future. And I just realized JT Daniels is draft eligible. And you know how they love their quarterbacks that can throw the football in the NFL, so – he's draft eligible, just throwing it out there.
It's college football game time. I want to get to the games that were played yesterday, but guys, before we do that, real quick, the SEC announced on Wednesday the revised football schedule for December the 5th. Georgia on December the 5th. Georgia will now host Vanderbilt on December the 5th. The revised schedule for December 5th for the SEC, the Alabama-LSU game that was supposed to be played November the 14th will now be played in primetime. So CBS will have a doubleheader on December the 5th, Alabama and LSU in primetime. Arkansas and Missouri, a game that's been rescheduled from November the 28th. Florida at Tennessee that day. South Carolina at Kentucky. Texas A&M at Auburn. And Vanderbilt at Georgia that day. So I would assume if Alabama LSU is going to be the nightcap, I would think there's probably a pretty good chance that Texas A&M Auburn would be the early game the 3:30 kick on CBS that day. A couple of games that were scheduled for December 5th that now the SEC is going to have to figure out how to make these games up. Alabama, Arkansas, Ole Miss, LSU, and Missouri and Mississippi State.
Well, I mean, we knew they were going to make the games up. I think it was more or less, especially that Bama-LSU game. We were talking a couple weeks ago, fellas, what was the point of doing it? What kind of outcome would that have on this deciding who would play in the SEC championship? And I mean, I'm happy because the kids get to play more games. I get to see Georgia another game. I mean, I think that from my perspective, and I just don't think it will make that big a deal on the final outcome as far as Bama, Florida playing in Atlanta for the SEC championship. I just don't see anything changing that right now.
Yeah,
no, I don't either.
I agree, and I don't think that the SEC was willing to let LSU not have both Florida and Alabama,
right.
Without one of those games being made up. That without, are they going to mean anything? No. Is LSU going to beat either one of those teams? Probably not. But the idea of LSU Florida and LSU Alabama not happening, I think if it had been just one or the other, might have been one thing, but not both.
Yeah.
Let's get to some of the games that were played yesterday. We saw an upset, number 15, Oregon. They go down. Oregon State wins. Notre Dame kind of cruised to a win over North Carolina. But, guys, I want to go with the game that involved two top 20 teams as Iowa State knocks off 17th-ranked Texas 23-20 yesterday. Tom Herman has got to be done now. Jeff Ketchum, who is the publisher of orangebloods.com, which I think is probably the source when it comes to Texas football, said earlier in the week that if Texas lost yesterday, it would be a wrap for Tom Herman. Texas is 9-7 combined the last 2 years in Big 12 play, not to mention all the drama that's happening there off the field, the stuff that's going on in recruiting, and no Big 12 titles for Texas with Sam Ellinger as the quarterback.
You know, I sitting there watching that game yesterday, Texas just found a way to lose that game. Mm-hmm. They really
Yeah,
did.
I mean, Ellinger taking that sack to put him at the 58-yard
field. That was just
field
bad.
I mean,
that was just bad. He and that was senior night. He got no better. You can't take a sack right there. But, I just repeat what I keep saying. I think Tom Herman's overrated as hell. I always have. And, you know, we knew that he was the hot name for what he did at Houston and all this. And we knew that. And I look at it as it's time to go. Like my man Chugger says, by God, Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't – I mean, I saw, you know, they lost the best quarterback in the state. He decided to decommit and go to Ohio State. I mean, they're going in the wrong direction. And college football is better when Texas is good. But I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Campbell up there in Iowa State, up there in Ames, the job he's done with that program. Remember the first game when they got bullied by, you know, by
– the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, the Raging Cajuns. Yeah, they bullied them. And for them to regroup the way they have, I thought it was just a great game by him. Congratulations to him. And watch, that's going to be his name's always out there for other jobs, especially in the NFL. I can see him moving on, man. He is just a damn good football coach. And with Texas, go snatch him. Because, like you say, Chucker, you Texas, you go somebody's
coach.
Yeah,
they're going to go take somebody.
You go take somebody's coach.
Yeah. By the way, the pride of Canton, Ohio, and Perry High School, where my dad went to high school as well. But anyway. Somebody said this yesterday, Chris, and I thought it was a great comment. Iowa State this year beat Texas and Oklahoma, and it wasn't even close. It wasn't even a what was this? Because I want to say it right. Iowa State beat Texas and Oklahoma, and it wasn't even unexpected.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. I mean, that, you know, Iowa State's a really good program with a really good quarterback. I'll ask you guys a question about that when we get to buy or sell. But they beat Texas and Oklahoma, and it doesn't even really feel like that those were two upsets.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you, man. And we know that Oklahoma's going to be better. I think, you know, Spencer Rattler seems like he has gotten better and better after, you know, just looking like a true freshman earlier. So, I mean, Lincoln Riley's a fine coach. I think Oklahoma's going to be fine. But, yeah, Texas, they're in a – ooh. I mean
– Don't you feel like, too, in that – you know, going back to last week, Chris, you know, this should be a time where if Oklahoma State or – Iowa State, you know, Baylor and Texas A&M a few years ago really rose up when Texas and Oklahoma were quote unquote down. You know, this is, you know, you talk about missed opportunities, Chris. I mean,
there's no doubt.
When you've got those two blue bloods, and those two programs are as blue blood as it gets in the college football landscape. When you've got them down, man, you got to take advantage. And, you know, a few years ago, Baylor and TCU, I should say, both did a great job of that because one of those teams I think should have been in the playoff, but that's a different discussion. But still, you got to take advantage of that. And Oklahoma State didn't. Give Iowa State some credit. You know, they're sitting pretty right now to play in the Big 12 championship game and, you know, maybe end up in the Cotton Bowl when all is said and done.
Yeah, this is one of those years where, especially with the start that Oklahoma got off to, where it's kind of a if not now, when?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is probably your best opportunity to try to take advantage.
It very quickly, let me just say, that was actually a pretty good game. I watched a lot of that Notre Dame-UNC game.
Oh, it was a great game.
Yeah, those two teams really – yeah, I mean, those two teams
– fantastic.
And let me tell you, and I keep saying it, there's no team in America that runs it better than Notre Dame, man. When they line up and they come after you and they just wear you down – that last big run that they got out of their own end zone, and he ran it for, I want to say, like 56 yards, that's a result of all of the work that you put into that leading up to that point yesterday. They really run the football well against anybody they line up against.
And that's with that offensive line not being at 100%.
Yeah, two kids. Yeah, they had two starters, I think, that was out yesterday.
We'll go around the SEC next. Iron Bowl coming up later today. That's 3:30 on CBS. We'll get to that. Georgia, South Carolina as well. Stick around. It's College Football Game Time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
If it happens in college football, hear it here first.
Rifles one wide open.
This is College Football Game Time with Chris Guilford, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the Radio.com app. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. It's time for us to go around the SEC. It's brought to you by ESOG, Engineered Solutions for Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Yes, John Chuckery.
My hand is raised.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
Yeah, I had it raised earlier and I forgot to let you know. It's Bulldog Chuckery because, Randy, we got a big one today. We got to get it going today. I mean, we got to get the run game cranked up, Randy. We got to get it back on track. Big one today. So, yeah, it's Bulldog Chuckery today. I do have my Georgia shirt on. So,
all right.
Well, let's start there, Randy. Georgia, South Carolina. South Carolina going to have for all the talk about Georgia and the job JT Daniels did last week, South Carolina is going to trot out a new starting quarterback today, Luke Doty, a freshman who came in the second half last week against Missouri, hit 14 out of 23, 130 yards passing. He also rushed for another 59 yards, all of that in the second half last week. So that'll be something to look for South Carolina. Mike Bobo going up against Kirby Smart. Those two guys were once roommates when both were at the University of Georgia. And, of course, we see JT Daniels today. Randy, what do you expect game two from JT Daniels?
One thing I don't expect is for South Carolina to play defense like Mississippi State did. I think that you'll see a little bit more zone and all those things because he has proven that he can throw the ball down the field. So that should loosen some things up possibly in the run game for Georgia. I want to see this defense get back on track. I want to see, and I heard Coach Dooley, he was on with Dukes and Bell, might have been third Wednesday, yeah. And I remember what he said was, it's hard to play defense when you lose All-American safety and, your first-round defensive tackle. But that goes back to recruiting, and you get all these five-star here, five-star there. So where are these guys stepping up? I would love to see the defense get back to being dominant as far as, an opponent that you're better that you just go out there and punch them in the face. You don't let them dodge and shoulder roll and all those things. You hit them in the mouth, and you keep hitting them in the mouth over and over again. And now this is a young quarterback. I expect Kirby to dial up some things, him and Coach Dan, to try and confuse the young quarterback. But, yeah, I just want to see Georgia just be dominant today. That's what I want to do. I just want to sit back and relax and just watch them just go out there and just kick South Carolina's butt today.
John Chuckery, to Randy's point, I think if you're Georgia, given the way this game unfolded last year, the last thing you want to do is see South Carolina hang around into the fourth quarter with you.
Yeah, I mean, last week, Georgia runs for 0.3 yards per carry in that game. And I think that, you let your offense try to get things going early, get a lead on this team. And then, because I can't imagine it was a very fun week of practice for offensive linemen and running backs after that performance. You go 23 carries for 8 yards against a Mississippi State team that's certainly decent defensively, but they're no great shakes, up there. I think Georgia tries to get the lead. And, Randy, I think the second half, they try to flex their rushing muscles in this game and get back to figuring out how to block and run and get back to a little bit of that Kirby ball. They may play a little bit open to get the lead with Daniels, because I think Daniels, it wouldn't surprise me if the trust factor of Daniels goes up pretty quickly, because we talked about this before. It's not like he's coming right out of high school. It's not like he's coming from Savannah State.
Right.
He's coming from we talk about blue blood programs. He's coming from as blue blood as he gets as well. So it's not like he hasn't come from a big program and seen high-level competition and things like that. So, I think the trust factor for him will go up. But I think the second half of this game, I think Georgia really I bet you Kirby probably put some kind of challenge to their offensive line and their rushing game about getting this thing back on track, because that was embarrassing last week.
It was
what they did.
It was.
John, you talk about the trust factor with JT Daniels. We're going to have Brandon Adams from Dog Nation on with us later on in the show.
Yeah, I trust him.
And, well, I don't know if you guys saw it, but on DogNation.com this week, I think maybe Mike Griffith wrote the article. I'll give Mike credit for it. I'm not really sure now who it was. But it was some comments. There were some quotes in it from George Pickens talking about JT Daniels. And I think the trust factor, especially among those wide receivers, because the quote from George Pickens was something like, look, he puts the ball in a perfect place for you to catch it. It's not too high. It's not too low. He doesn't throw it too far. He has a way of just dropping it right in there. And I think that right there goes to show you that those Georgia wide receivers, they understand. They understand what that guy is able to do for them. And I think we saw it last week with Burton. And eventually, George Pickens was okay last week. But eventually, guys, that wide receiver core, I think, is better than what we've seen so far. And eventually, those guys are going to step up. And now that they've got a quarterback that, as George Pickens said, can get them the ball, I think this Georgia offense is ready to take the next step.
Well, I mean, it's one game. It was one game, and you know, it was an impressive first game. And I thought, you know, and when you look at George and you look at Burt, and then you got, you know, Dominique coming back, Blaylock, I mean, you throw Karis Jackson. Hell, he threw three touchdowns on one drive. You know, they dropped him. You know, Karis dropped one and George dropped one. And the one that George dropped, that was just a heck of a play by JT because the offensive line messed up the count. Guy comes running free at JT. JT's able to spin out and throw a dime, and George got to catch that football. But I'm going to go back to what Chuck was saying. It was a rough week up there in practice. It was like put the pads on, put your chin strap mouthpieces on. We're going to go 9-on-7 inside run all practice. Because that was embarrassing, and I expect, just like Chuck Reese said, I expect them to try and flex their muscle, especially in that second half.
College football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's go to the Iron Bowl now. Auburn and Alabama today in Tuscaloosa. No Nick Saban. Saban will not be on the sideline today for Alabama after he tests positive. He's showing mild symptoms, they said. He will be at home like the rest of us. Now, they're going to hook up a feed for Nick Saban today where he'll be able to see the All-22 on the field. Basically, a press box view, I guess, is what they're going to give Nick Saban today. John Chuckery, I would have thought, you know, there was a lot of chatter early in the week when the lines first came out, I guess Sunday and Monday, about Alabama being favored in this game by 24. And when it was announced, I guess it was Wednesday at least when I saw it, that Nick Saban was going to miss this game, I thought, wow, I bet the line drops 7 points or so. It hadn't. As a matter of fact, when I checked it yesterday, the line for this game was at 24.5.
Well, let me ask you a question. I know Saban's – is Mac Jones going to be there?
Yep.
Okay, is Najee Harris going to be there?
Yep.
Okay, is Devontae Smith going to be there?
Yep.
Okay, all right, because with all due respect, and I'm not taking anything away from Nick Saban, obviously, but if you told me those three guys weren't going to be there, then the line would have moved. But I'm sort of right with this stat. I heard it, and I saw it, and I should have written it down. First of all, what they did to Kentucky last week was not fair.
That wasn't even fair.
But this is what Alabama is now. And I think, Randy, the stat was since Nick Saban has gotten to Alabama, he has twice as many wins by 60 points over an SEC team as every other SEC team combined since he's gotten there. And what they did to Kentucky, they may want to go back and just be a basketball school after what they did today. There's nothing about Auburn that tells me that they're ready to stop that group of guys on offense. And, yeah, it's a rival. They're going to come right at Auburn. They're going to attack Auburn. Maybe Steve Sarkisian, say what you will. Listen, he may be playing for his next head coaching job. You know,
is it time? Do you think it's actually time for him?
Well, you know, is he going to Texas? No, but you know, could he, Randy, go to Houston or you know what I mean? Like, one
how
of
about
those
if
schools?
How about if Matt Campbell were to leave Iowa State and go to the NFL? I mean, I think that would be a good landing spot for him.
That's an interesting thought out there. I'm not convinced that maybe it's a Power 5 school.
Right.
I think maybe he goes somewhere smaller. and then works his way into something. But again, when you're the Alabama offensive coordinator, this is his chance to flex his muscles and show what they can do. I think Auburn's in a bad spot today.
Auburn's playing better. I don't know. Tank Bigsby looks like he's still questionable with that bad hip. And Bo Nix has been playing better as far as, you know, in Chad Morris's offense. And it is a rivalry game, and strange things have happened in the Orange Bowl. In the Iron Bowl. And so, I mean, I don't know what to expect. I think Alabama's going to beat him by that line, possibly. But, I mean, Nick is going to – he's going to be in the locker room before the game, is on a Zoom, giving them the talk before they go on the football field. He's going to have a say in it. I wouldn't be surprised if he had something tapped in to, like, the coaches in the press box from home. I mean, this is the type of coach that he is, that has his fingertips on every little thing about that program. Right. So it's hard for me to believe that he's not going to have some kind of say. Hey, Steve, call a dag on timeout. You know, it's something. It's going to be something.
But it's just they're averaging just a whisker hair under 50 points a game right now. And I just don't see Auburn slowing that down. I just don't see Auburn slowing them down today. They just, man, they exert their will on offense. I mean, Mac has played out of his mind this year. And think about it. They're doing this without Jaylen Waddle. They're doing this without, you know, my favorite player and maybe the most exciting player in college football. They're doing it without him. I mean, they've still got so many weapons and they're so good. I just don't think that Auburn can score to try to stay with. I mean, they couldn't score against Georgia, and I'm not saying Alabama's, you know, the best defense in the country, but I just don't see how Auburn holds down Alabama and then themselves score enough points to be able to get it done.
Well, after seeing the way Tennessee was able to run the ball last week against Auburn, what's Alabama going to do with Najee Harris back there?
X-Factor. He's the X-Factor.
Yeah. And the other thing, John Chuckery, you'll appreciate this. You talk about Jaylen Waddle being out. How about Devontae Smith? Last two games for Devontae Smith, 20 receptions, 347 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Two games.
He's been balling. He was fantastic last week. That's why I just think that, you know, Alabama, I think it's going to be close early, and Alabama eventually will pull away, and then they'll keep pulling away. I just think that's how this game will go today. But,
and by the way, you want interesting stats. Jaylen Waddle has 25 catches for 557 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's 22.3 yards per reception. John Menchie, 25 catches, 535 yards, 4 touchdowns as well. That's 21.4. So from a statistical production standpoint, Mechie's numbers are literally identical to what Jaylen Waddle was putting up. Over 20 yards of reception, 4 touchdowns, 25 catches. So I'm not saying that they haven't missed Jaylen Waddle by any stretch of the imagination, but Mechie has been really good as far as how much production they're getting out of him.
Real quick, guys, one more game let's touch on. Kentucky visits Gainesville today to take on the Gators. That's a noon kick on ESPN.
Oh, Kentucky.
Offense.
And Kentucky's going to slow that offense down today? Okay.
Well, Pitts back? Pitts is coming back today?
Trask has the most touchdown passes through the first 8 games of any SEC quarterback in history. He's got 31 touchdowns in 8 games. It's the most ever by an SEC quarterback through the first 8 games. Think about it. We talk about the pandemic. Could you imagine if Kyle Trask could have gotten a full 12-game season?
Oh, he'd be 7 touchdowns.
Well, and Randy, don't forget, in a regular season, he'd be playing Florida State. Mm-hmm. He'd be playing, Midwestern Technical School for the Blind. I mean, you know, to start the year. I mean, he'd have all the ham in it. You know, it wouldn't be all SEC teams. He'd be having the cupcakes and everything else lining up against, and he's putting up these numbers against all SEC competition. I'm telling you, you think the NFL likes guys who are, NFL likes guys who can throw 50 touchdowns in the SEC, man. They like those kinds of guys too.
College football playoff rankings came out earlier this week. What did we learn from those first set of playoff rankings? We'll get into that when we come back. It's College Football Game Time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app.
Dubs! Mark it in the first half. College Football Game Time is on with your hosts Chris Kilforth, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's College football game time here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Chuck, Randy McMichael. Big Saturday of college football, the Iron Bowl being played today. This would normally be the Saturday when we would get all of the rivalry games, including Georgia, Georgia Tech. That's not happening today, so we do have the Iron Bowl. We've also got the Egg Bowl, which we weren't able to get to a few minutes ago. So at some point in time today, we'll swing back around to the SEC, and we'll talk a little bit about Ole Miss and Mississippi State going at it today.
Yeah, we got scrambled in the last segment. So
yes, we did. The final, or I shouldn't say the final, the first college football playoff ranking was released this week. Alabama comes in number one, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State, your top four. Georgia, by the way, in at number nine. Guys, what were your takeaways from what we found out Tuesday night in regards to the college football playoff rankings? I think the emphasis, John, to me, is on Power 5 wins, and that's the reason why I don't think Cincinnati has a prayer of being able to get into the playoffs. I think Northwestern has a better shot of making the college football playoff than Cincinnati does.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, because to get there, they'd have to beat Ohio State. The first seven fell exactly like I thought it would. I got no problem with that. I thought BYU is still ranked a little bit low. I understand that they don't have a Power 5 win, but 9-0 is 9-0 through this pandemic. And, you know, you look at some of the teams that were right there behind them, Oregon, Wisconsin, Texas. I'll tell you this, if you told me that they lined up against those three teams, I wouldn't bet against BYU on beating any of those three teams.
Beating with three teams.
Huh?
Tell me the three teams again?
Oregon, Wisconsin, and Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think BYU could beat any one of those three teams. Okay. None of those teams impressed me that much. And the other thing is 25% of the poll is non-Power 5. That's a pretty stout number. 25, I mean, that's five of the 25 teams are non-Power 5 teams, the Marshalls and all
that. Is that the most? Is that the most we've seen in one of these polls?
I don't know. I would imagine. I mean,
I would think so. I would think so. Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine that there's been a time when. I mean, when's the last time a non-Power 5 opened up at number 7 in the polls? I mean,
yeah, that's never happened before. I'm pretty sure.
Was Central Florida ever that high?
I don't think that's the key.
Yeah, okay. I think in the first week. Right. I think Central Florida was like 10 or 12, weren't they?
Yes,
weren't they?
Yes, yes. I believe you're right. Because I think, John, on the telecast on ESPN Tuesday night, they actually referenced not UCF necessarily, but referenced the fact that Cincinnati debuted the highest of any Group of Five team ever in the playoff rankings first poll.
I can't even imagine anybody besides Central Florida that was even remotely close to that. So, by and large, I mean, look, Georgia's in a great position to be in a New Year's Six game. Miami's in a great position to be in a New Year's Six game. You know, there's some teams that will get rewarded and, you know, maybe make up some revenue from some of these things because of where they're slotted. A&M is lining itself up for a Cotton Bowl. Florida's lining itself up for an Orange Bowl. That could be Florida-Miami in the Orange Bowl likely. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I think teams in that lower part of the top 10, from Cincinnati to kind of Oklahoma, are pretty well primed that, you know, they can go get themselves a good payday and play in one of the New Year's Six games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only thing I always take away from it is just the outrage that people have after the first one. And it's going to change. You got teams that are going to knock each other out. They're going to play. And for the most part, outside the TCU situation, TCU-Baylor, I think it's always worked itself out. I mean, that's how I've always looked at it. So, I just continue to think that. And, again, there'll be people in arms, and everything might not even change this week from next week, you know, on this Tuesday coming up. So it might not even change. People will still be mad about something. So I just wait this thing out. But they got the four right, because what I saw from Notre Dame yesterday, yeah, they won top 14.
And, you know, some people were kind of mad because Ohio State was fourth, and they're like, well, if you see the eye test, they should be – But also at the same time, they only played four games. I mean, they've played half the games that everybody else has played. I mean, I think that there has to be some reward for the fact that teams have been able to play as many games as what they have. Because, again, we're in another week of look how many Pac-12 games and look what the Pac-12 is running into.
It's JC, like,
Yes.
If they would have destroyed Indiana last week, would they be number four?
I still think the committee looked at their half at the half amount of games. I do. I think that that definitely played a factor, and it should. I think that that's a fair criticism, and not even a criticism, but I think it's a fair assessment that it's not a knock against Ohio State. It's just the reality is they've only gotten four games in. All these other teams, I know Alabama's got seven, but Notre Dame and Clemson have eight games that they've played thus far. I think there has to be, in this year, there has to be some reward for that.
If Notre Dame beats Clemson a second time in the ACC championship game, that opens the door then for the SEC to get a second team in, whether that's Texas A&M or Florida, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's. I think it's all.
Let me ask
the ACC
you,
championship game is going to determine it more. I think.
Right. I mean, yeah. If. Now you get into some of the semantics. What if Northwestern runs it and their only loss is a close game to Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game? Could they be
how
a
much,
playoff team?
Well, let me ask you this. How much does the what do you want to call it? How much does the human psyche factor into this and the playoff committee goes, but it's Northwestern?
Right.
Because you can't convince me that a little bit of that – it's the same way I think margin of victory matters. And you can't, because you're dealing with the human element here, and because of that, I think things like that matter.
If Florida to me is the wild card team. If they found a way to beat Alabama, now you're guaranteed you're going to have two in there, because Bama's not going from one to five losing to Florida. So I think that's. To me, that's a more likely scenario. I mean, we know Georgia's not in the mix, and I just don't think A&M, having lost to Bama and not going to play in their conference championship this game, I don't think that they're going to get rewarded with a playoff spot. I mean, with all due respect, how could you sit there and tell Cincinnati, if they go undefeated and win their conference in their championship game, that A&M should be in the playoff over them?
Power five wins.
For what? They still have a loss, and they didn't play in their conference championship game, and the best that they can do is finish second in their own division.
Yeah, but they're still going to end up with nine Power 5 wins. That's nine more Power 5 wins than what Cincinnati's going to have.
Then what's the point of Cincinnati even finishing out the season? Just so they could play for the Peach Bowl?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they'll go get a nice – they'll come down here and get a nice paycheck.
I understand the business aspect of it. I'm talking about – from a competitive standpoint, that Cincinnati did everything that was asked of them to do.
Right.
If they
right.
run the table and win their conference and win their conference championship game, they did everything you could ask them to do. It's not their fault that there's a pandemic and their schedule is what it is. I don't think that that's – I understand your guys' point, but at the same time, it's like then you're telling me that there's unless a non-Power 5 team plays all Power 5s, they're never going to have a shot at the playoff.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, and I don't think that they'll be able if they're in. They'll get mud rug. I think I do. I think that. But I mean,
so
I
why not put them in their own separate ranking then? Because all that matters
you just said what I've been saying for a long time. The fact that Cincinnati and Alabama both compete for the same national championship is ridiculous.
Oh, I agree, and this is why I've always talked about super conferences and things like that, because. There are – people are like, well, you're going to have and have – there already are have and have-nots. The whole sport is have and have-nots. I mean, if they don't have a shot to legitimately be in the playoff, then – and I've said this before, they should go create their own eight-team playoff, make it different, go to eight teams, and do something different, because they'll do everything that they have been asked to do, and their reward is we'll put you in the Peach Bowl for it.
But that's a big deal, a Peach Bowl for them.
I understand, but somebody's going to go because the contract says one of the the group of five gets a bowl bid in one of those games. So they have that in the contract. So it's not like that. It's not like the playoff committee is rewarding Cincinnati. Whoever's the highest ranked group of five team mm-hmm. goes to a Big Six bowl game.
Right.
It just turns out this year BYU is not a group of five team. They're an independent.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't fall within those rules. So that's why they can end up and probably will end up in the Fiesta Bowl when it's all said and done.
You know, guys, I wanted to look for this. There is Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network. He's put out a tweet earlier from the Big Ten in regards to, I'm trying to see if I can find it real quick, in regards to what they will do about the number of games, and trying to get enough games in. And if I can find this, I will I'll try to tell you guys what that was. I just saw it this morning. I want to see if I can look it up and find it again here, because I think there is a there may be some concern there on the part of Ohio State as to whether or not they can play. Here it is. This was an hour ago. Dave Revson, clarification from the Big Ten on the math behind Big Ten championship game eligibility rules. Assuming the four remaining games today are played, 12 of the 14 games scheduled the final 2 weeks would need to be canceled for a team to qualify for Indianapolis with fewer than six games played. So it sounds like the Big Ten is going to be okay with that six games played limit in order for you to get in the championship game.
I mean,
I think there's going to be a concern there.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to figure out a way to get it. They, like you said, they need that revenue also. And so, I mean, you know, the Ohio State is canceled today. So, I mean, they'll have to continue to move on. But I look at, you know, the Big Ten. Northwestern is a great story, because I'm a big fan of their coach. I'm a big fan of their coach. So, you know, but I just don't see how they can score enough to beat the Ohio State team. They can't score.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about it. Their offense is cool, but they can't score enough to keep up. Now, defensively, they can do some things that might give you problems, but I just don't see it. I don't see it, that wow factor from Northwestern.
Hey, they want to try to win games, Randy. Sorry, John. They want to try to win games the way they beat Wisconsin last week, 17-7. That's what they want.
I saw two projections this week that, I think CBS and maybe it was Schlayball or one of the other guys talking about, you ready for a Northwestern Cincinnati Peach Bowl?
No. No.
I mean, that's what you may be looking at right now. That's a possibility.
I could. You're right. I mean, that totally makes sense given how it shakes out. That's very likely, I think, at this point. But a lot of football left to be played. Yeah.
No, I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. But I mean, but Northwestern, they've done what they had to do. They just mauled Wisconsin last weekend.
Physical, Randy. That is a physical football team at Northwestern.
Yeah, they just. Physical. I mean, that's exactly what, when I was sitting there watching the game, they just sat up there and just straight mauled them. And you know, it's going to change again this week. But I'm with you. I thought that A&M Florida, they're sliding. I thought it was right because A&M beat Florida, but I don't think A&M will beat Florida again. I mean, if they played again, I think Florida would not beat them. But they just caught them on a good day, and Florida still couldn't figure out how to stop anybody as far as their defense, and they took advantage of it.
I don't think A&M would beat Alabama or Florida.
No.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Let's go. We're going to go around the nation. Speaking of Northwestern, they are in action today at Michigan State. We'll talk about the Wildcats and the Spartans. That's the 3:30 game today on ESPN. We'll do that as we go around the nation. To kick off the 10 o'clock hour this morning, College Football Game Time brought to you by Dos Equis. Make social distancing more interesting with Dos Equis, a most interesting beer. It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.